And as I said last week, hopefully this week I'll actually get to this verse. John chapter 11, I just want to read, well, actually, let's start verse 23 and read through 26. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, what I've been trying to speak at, about, for the last several weeks is that believers are believers first. First and foremost. In our minds, in our hearts, when even in the midst of doubt about ourselves, and I can only speak for me personally and where I've talked to other people, have agreed, I never doubt him. Even when I'm doubting me, I'm believing him. And that's a comfort to me. It is. Because that's kind of the way it's supposed to be. I know people who talk as if they have faith in their faith. They have faith in their believing. No, the believing is in him. You are to believe Jesus Christ is the Lord. Whether you're one of his or not, he is the Lord. And to know that is a blessing from God. As I was driving up here, I saw a sign, and the reason I said we is because I commented to Debbie, who wasn't with me, when I saw the sign. It's okay, I'll talk to myself. I've done it before. And it says, free trip to heaven. Details inside. And I drove by, I thought, I wish they were inside. My faith is not in heaven. My treasure's in heaven because Jesus Christ is in heaven. My blessings come from him. My belief comes from him. But my belief is in him. No matter what I am. And that's why I said, I ended last week, believing is important. It is promised. But life is essential. Faith is essential because it is the gift of God. It is not of me. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe because of the life of God. I believe because of the faith of God given to me by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that faith is perfect. My believing is never perfect. No matter how strong it is, it's never perfect. But believing is a result of faith. Believing is in Christ, and believing comes from Christ. It is a part of salvation. It is not a cause of salvation, which is what you hear all around us. Come to the front of the church, and if you believe, God will save you. If you believe, God will born you again, which is not only bad theology, it's bad English. Believing is a part of salvation. Paul put it this way, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, that's before the beginning of the world, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I said belief is promised. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said it back in the book of John chapter 3, he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he believeth not in the only Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. The one sent from God. Because if God gives you faith, you'll believe the words of Christ. You don't have to believe my words. You don't have to believe Walter's words. You don't have to believe anybody's. You have to believe the truth of Jesus Christ as it is revealed in Scripture. Belief of the truth. If you believe, it is because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, and you have been sanctified, set apart by the Holy Spirit. It is a belief of the truth. But Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. Walter, I know what I believe. I do know what I believe. But far more important, I know whom I have believed. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I remember the first time we heard that in a song, Walter. That was pretty good stuff. It's still pretty good. It's Scripture. Paul wrote that in 2 Timothy 1 and 12. I know whom I have believed. Jesus Christ, the Lord. And I am persuaded that he is able because he is Lord. My faith and my salvation is in Christ. It is in whom? It's in a person. Walter, that's like that sign. I don't know if I put it last week or not. I can't remember. I told you about it, and I think you've mentioned it. God expects spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. Well, when I drove by that sign, I looked at Debbie and I said, well, I expect religious nuts. And really, very seldom am I disappointed. God provides spiritual fruit. God gives faith. God gives life. God gives love. God gives peace. We're not offering our fruit to him. He's giving us the fruit. They've got it backwards, as usual. The normal condition of man as he is born is backwards. And I almost put a word in front of that that I shouldn't when I'm up here. It's backwards, exactly backwards. Cain found out that was wrong. He's the one that was offering fruit, and it should have been a lamb cut. Should have been a lamb killed and blood offered. God gives spiritual fruit. He is the husbandman. Christ is the vine. We are branches. He gives us the fruit, then he takes it. And it's time and we bring forth more fruit. Why? Because that's the way he wants it. That's what he's promised to us. I get the religious nuts. Finally, to get to John 11:25, this is the scripture I started out with here, and I think it's pretty appropriate. It's been misused severely. When Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, he that believeth in me though he were dead, yet shall he live. Preachers will use this scripture to teach, see, you have to believe to get life.
Right.
And they're wrong.
Yeah.
They're not hermeneutical eisegesis. They're taking something that ain't there and trying to put it in there. Because if you look in verse 23, which is why I read it this morning, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha misunderstood. And said, yes, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. That's true. But that's not what Christ was talking about here. He told her her brother was going to rise again. And he meant now. And he did it. He was telling Martha, I am the resurrection. I have the power to raise the dead whenever I want.
Amen. That's right.
And he did raise the dead whenever he wanted. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, those lepers said. And Christ said, I will. He was telling Martha, thy brother's going to raise again today. And again, this is written for our edification. I am the resurrection. Not only the resurrection, I'm the life. There is no life outside of Christ. There's only death. He is the life. He has the power to raise it up. He has the power to give it. He has the power. We are those that are without strength. And I did like what Earl used to say about that. It's not to say that, no, it's not saying you're weak. When you're without strength, you're just laying there. It's without, totally without strength. That's us. He is the resurrection. He is the life. When he says somebody's going to rise from the dead, they're going to rise from the dead, Martha. He had the power to give life to the dead today, right now, and he still does, because Jesus Christ is Lord right now. It's not that he's coming again, Mason, and he's going to be Lord. It's not that he's coming again and then everybody will know that he is Lord. He's Lord now. And it doesn't matter whether you know it or not, he's still Lord. He is the resurrection and he is the life, whether anybody knows it or not. But Christ is here telling us that he is, so that we might know. Thy brother shall rise again. And Lazarus did that very day. Now, the resurrection of Lazarus is an allegory, but it's also the truth. I use it as an allegory for the giving of life to the dead alien sinner. It's an illustration of it. But the resurrection of Lazarus was a real, literal resurrection from the dead. I believe that. Most people don't. Most people think that's a Bible story. Of course, most people think this is a plumb full of cute stories, but they never read it. It was a real resurrection. But Lazarus did not arise until the Lord Jesus Christ called him by name. He could have done it without words. He could have done it without words. But he spoke for those that were there to hear him. And he spoke for us to read this. He said, Lazarus, And at that moment, Lazarus came to life. Because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and is the life. There is nothing outside of the power of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God. And it is true when he speaks to you. If he calls you by name, you will live. You will arise. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you might not even know about it for a while. Life is an act of God. It is a gift from God to his chosen people that he chose before the foundation of the world. He gives life. When Christ tells you to come forth, you'll come forth. First he calls you by name, then he tells you to come forth. There's lots of preachers out there now, they're telling everybody to come forth, but ain't nobody called their name. God hadn't called their name. You can come forward all you want to. It's not going to do you any good. You can pray at all the altars or the humps in the floor or anywhere you want to. Out in the woods under the majesty of Mother Nature. I don't understand how the majesty of God is compared to Mother Nature. It's the handiwork of God. But you can pray anywhere you want to. Say anything you want to. But until God calls you by name, it's not going to do any good. Because he has the power. He is the resurrection and he is the life. And when he calls you and then tells you to come forth, you will come forth. You may be bound in grave clothes. You may come with your own thoughts in your mind. But you'll come to him. And he'll never cast you out. Because there's people around. When Lazarus came forth bound in his grave clothes, Christ said, loose him and let him free. You may have them grave clothes on, but you won't have them on for long. Not if you read this book. Not if you hear this book. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because he is the truth. Then in verse 26, it tells us, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Whosoever lives and believes shall never die. See, here we have it. Life comes first. Then believing. When Christ gives you life, you live. And you will never die. This body may die. But I have been promised by God eternal life. And I have been promised that I have it now. Because this is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And I shall never die, even though this flesh may die. Unless he comes first, then this flesh is going to be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Either way, something's got to happen to this flesh. But if I live and I believe in him, I shall never die. That's his words. That's his promise to each and every single one of his chosen people. If Christ gives you life, you'll live. And if Christ gives you life, you'll believe. You won't believe perfectly. You may not believe immediately. You may not believe wonderfully all the time. But you'll believe Him. You may not believe me. You may not believe somebody else. But you'll believe Him. And that's the part that counts. Because the faith is in Him. The faith is not in the preacher. It's not in the pulpit. It's not in the church. The faith is to be in Jesus Christ, who gave it to you. And if you live and you believe, you will never die. Believest thou this? That's what he asked Martha. Do you believe this? And that's Christ speaking about those who aren't in the grave. He'd already talked to her about Lazarus. Your brother's going to rise again. But what about those that live? Those that live and believe in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's a good question. Do you believe him who said this? Well, I can't help but go to this one. This scripture. I do it a lot, and I'm probably going to continue to do so. Philippians 2 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Working out salvation. Well, keep reading. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And I'm going to tell you something. Believing Christ is of God's good pleasure. I cannot, and by his grace I will not, take any credit even for my believing, Mason. Not even for my believing, because it's him that worketh in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is of God's good pleasure that his chosen people believe Jesus Christ. You might even call it, say that this is the work of God, that you believe on him. Christ said that too. Paul was just repeating what Christ had said. Now, in conclusion, or basically as a warning, there are those that believe not. They're out there. Trust me, we're surrounded by them. I've talked to them, I've seen them, I hear them, and they're everywhere. Well, Christ had spoke about them in the previous chapter. John 10, verse 26. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." They follow him because they believe him. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. That's what happens when you preach this truth. It didn't matter 2,000 years ago, and it don't matter today. If they could get away with it, they would have stoned me and Walter about 20 years ago. I'm glad they couldn't get away with it at the time. Well, they wouldn't have, because it wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's purpose. Believers are believers first because they are made that way by Jesus Christ. And with Job, one day, I'm going to see him. And if you're his, you're going to see him. And though the skin worms may devour this flesh, yet I, and none another, shall see God. Believest thou this? He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe it. Believe him. His grace will see to it. His power will see to it. Because he's promised it to us. And we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never, never, never die. Believe it. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place, but most of all thankful for you and your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did come and did save his people from their sins and is now calling them out of darkness and translating them into his marvelous light. We thank you for your Spirit, Lord, which you gave us when you gave us life. Because your Spirit witnesses with our spirit that these things are true and that Jesus Christ is the Lord, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.